This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. And we are back in the studio. I'm Wes from the 904. Duval in the building, baby. And we got a great show for you. We're going to talk FAMU women's basketball, men's basketball. We're going to talk some NBA, NFL, definitely the Super Bowl. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What's going on, everybody? Mr. J-Score, Slim Trim.
We don't call
Michael
him
Trim Jr.
We don't call him that. Hey, do it again, but your actual things we call you. We don't call you Mr. J-Score.
All right, Q, it's your turn.
Go ahead, Q.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo, it's finest Kaji Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
How are you guys doing? It's Joshua Bounds, representing the 850.
You know, it's LaBoo's a little empty this week, but you know what that means? It means great takes, less yelling, just real ball knowing, you know?
Small ball, that's what Austin calls it.
Small ball, okay.
All right, let's talk FAMU basketball. We've been up and down, winning streaks and losses on games we should have won. How do we feel so far?
It's hard to. I feel like every time we think we have a grasp on what both the men and women's teams are, they just do the opposite. We think, okay, well, they're not gonna be good this year, and then they go on a little winning streak, and we're like, okay, we got something. We gonna get top three in the SWAC, and then boom, another losing streak starts. As far as the women are concerned,
We'll get to them. Hold on, it's two different analysis.
You're right.
You know, because we're in different spots with each team. This men's team has very high upside. Even though we're two game losing streak, you know, we've been pretty good in the SWAC. So it's definitely a different view for the women.
Yeah. I would say for the men, I think I wouldn't take this loss too seriously. Because Alabama A&M, they are a good team. I think we probably kind of overlooked them as far as our ability to win the game. Alabama A&M, they also beat Jackson State earlier in the season, and I forgot who it was that mentioned it, but Alabama A&M has a really good record at home. So it's just one of those things. It might have been a scheduled loss, and you know, we just keep pushing and move on.
Josh, go ahead, Trim.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a scheduled loss. You know. Well, no, Jackson State was a scheduled loss.
Was it?
Alabama, indeed it was. It was definitely a scheduled loss. But I can understand why you say Alabama A&M is a scheduled loss, because it was the first time we were on the road in quite some time. But they started this game very, very sluggish. Alabama State jumped out to a double-digit lead fairly quickly. At one point in the game, it was 5-19, 5-20, 5-21 if you look at the play-by-play. But we just started off way too slow for Alabama A&M. And then, like you said earlier, we just tried to shoot our way out of it. Granted, we got back within striking distance, but if we were to play like how we played in the second half and the first half, I mean, I don't think the game would have been particularly close.
But yeah, to piggyback off what you're saying, though, Trim, you caught it on the head. The problem is we got into a slump early, and in order to get out of a slump, we tried to shoot our way out. But that's not how you do it. Again, in a sense, you have to think of every game, no matter what sport you play, whenever you're down, you have to take it one play at a time. You're not going to regain the lead or get back into the game by just trying to force big plays to occur. So in this case, FAMU shouldn't have been trying to knock down all those threes, get into your set, run the pick and roll, do something to get your boys hot before you try to pop out to the three-point line. Because as we know, when you're not hot from three, don't try from three. Just warm up, then pop out. Because if you try shooting from three, just going to miss. And makes things worse for the team.
So we're a decent way through the season. We're a couple months in. How are we feeling about Charlie Ward's first season as our coach?
I mean, to be honest, Charlie Ward, he's doing what we kind of sort of expected. He has turned the team around. There's some hiccups on the road, but I mean, this is first year coaching. So, you know, just a couple of creases that need to be ironed out. But overall, he's not doing bad.
Do we call this improvement? Do we think this is improvement?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not mad at it at all. We're about.
And I would even say, you know, it's an improvement even over last year's team. I think shout out to Coach Crary. He did a good job and you know, turned this program around from what it was even before he came through. But I think things just look better. Like, the optics are better around our wins this year. And even our losses, you know, I think things just look better. Things just feel better around the basketball team this year.
Okay, well, you wanted to talk about it, but here we are. Women's basketball, 5-15 overall, 4-5 in the conference. Had some major ups and major downs. How do we feel about this? We're on a little bit of a losing streak.
I mean, first off, 14 for 48 from the field against Alabama.
Not great.
It's not great. And 3 for 14 from three-pointer. Again, we talked about it on the live show a little bit about, like, you know, living and dying by the three ball. And, you know, I'm not necessarily that you have to live and die by it, but if you're just marginally better, you know, all of these games could have a different outcome. But I think this was just this past one against Alabama A&M was just straight up a bad game. It is, and again, credit to Alabama A&M. They are among the top teams in the SWAC for women's basketball. But it's just one of those things. Like, it's not really much to say. You know, we lost to a much better team, and that's that.
What can we do to improve? Like, what is our major issue, do you think, as our women's basketball team?
I would say having another ball handler, because I feel like Purifoy, she, you know, a lot of the weight is on her to not only create but just handle the ball in general. In the games that I've been to and have been able to watch, it's like, if she's not on the court, then nothing's happening. If she's not the one handling the ball, you know, someone else is bound to get a turnover. And even then, that creates turnovers for Purifoy herself, just trying to create. Last week we mentioned, or I brought up, she kind of reminds me of Westbrook in a good way, that, you know, you have to, and if you have to create so much, you're bound to get some turnovers. And I think, you know, the team needs to be more complementary. We can't just have everything revolve around one player's success, because if that one player isn't performing up to par, then things aren't going to go well.
Yeah, to hop in here, I think the team just lacks talent.
Wow.
And I've been watching a lot of FAMU women's basketball under Coach Gordon for a couple years now. Yep. And this team just feels like it doesn't have it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, them teams that can compete in the playoffs, they have it. And this team just doesn't have it. Looking at the box scores over the last couple games, they're not losing the turnover battle. And if they are, it's not by much. It's by one, two, maybe three. So it's like, you're not turning the ball over more than the other team.
Even if our starting point guard averages six or seven.
Exactly. So it's like, what are the other areas that are holding this team back?
I mean, truly.
And I think it's just skill.
That's not a, I mean, I guess we, our best scorers are shooting terrible percentages. Purifoy was 2 for 11. McCarthy was 3 for 13 in that Alabama A&M loss. So,
And that's already, and Purifoy already can't struggle. If she's struggling, then there's like literally, I'm not going to say it's no chance, but it's a very slim chance that FAMU women's basketball is going to win that game. And then to add on to it, they're also starting very poorly. Indeed. And then they have to come back from behind and play out of character and out of structure.
Now, we have Coach Gordon on record saying it's the third quarter usually. It's the third quarter. Like, we can play with them, and then in the third quarter, the defense drops, or we all of a sudden turn the ball over more. So you're saying we get off to slow starts now? Because as of late,
yes, we have been getting off to slow starts. That Alcorn State game was ugly. And more of the same happened against Alabama State. You start slow. Then, you know, the second quarter, you start coming back. But then, obviously, the third quarter is their weakest quarter. Then the lead grows again. So it's kind of like, well, if the third quarter is their weakest quarter, you can't have no more weak quarters. Mm-hmm. But now they're having multiple weak quarters.
But yeah, to add on what you were saying, though, on Trim, on top of that, right, automatically, it's just like every coach would tell you, you cannot afford to come out the gate not swinging. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to compete. Correct. If you get punched in the mouth first and you're not able to recover, then it's going to be a long game of catch-up. And that, sadly, like you said, is what's going on with our women's team. They keep on having to play catch-up. And then when it comes to our players, right, Purifoy, they know that she is our main playmaker. So because she's our main playmaker, obviously, they're going to heavily pressure her. And with that, when the team goes down, of course, I think that she feels as if she now has to be the one to basically step up into the role of, I got to become the main scorer. I think that's why her shooting percentage is declining a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we've literally seen it. Again, going way back to the Grambling game, she was the one who made the game-winning rebound. She was the one that was making the game, at least driving to the basket and at least getting opportunities to make her free throws. She was the one that was making things happen in order for us to win the games. And so, again, maybe there's something that like Trim said, maybe we do just need more talent on the team. I hate to say it, you know, put it that way, but I don't know, you know, something has to shake.
Well, better question. Is it better talent or better hustle? Because it's a complete difference. Hustle-wise, that's something that everyone can change. because if you're not boxing out and getting the rebounds, that's a hustle problem. That's not really talent.
I don't think it's a hustle issue. I mean, and Coach Gordon, it seems like she, you know, she coaches her play as well and coaches them to give an effort. I just think that it's just not it's not enough. Eventually, you gotta have the players that are able to make the shots. You can hustle all you want, but eventually you gotta make some shots. You just gotta go out there and make plays.
And I don't want to discredit what Josh was saying about the hustle stats, because if you look at it defensively, they're bottom four in most of the major defensive stats. Opponent field goal percentage, they allow the fourth highest field goal percentage in defense. They allow the second most three-pointers, the second most opponent three-point percentage, and then they allow the fourth most opponent rebounds, while also being top five in assist to turnover ratio. So again, back to the turnovers, they're not turning the ball over as much, but they're losing the rebound category. They're losing the three-point field goals. They're losing the two-point field goals. So it's like they can't guard.
Listen, we can tear apart our women's basketball team as much as we like, but as far as the Playmakers' official stance is, you know, we have a lot of criticism, but we support them fully. But we're going to move over to the NFL, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about our picks for the awards for this season. Fellas, who do we think is our MVP of this season? Jerm?
The MVP?
Yeah, who's the MVP? We're picking the season's MVP. It's on the rundown right there. Who's the MVP of the season?
I'm going to go with Matt Stafford.
Okay.
Q? I think Matt. Oh.
No, no. I want quick picks and we'll go back around.
All right.
I hate to say it. I got to go with Drake May.
You got to go with Drake May? We'll talk about that. Josh?
Matthew Stafford.
Chris just showed up.
My fault for being late, fellas. Matthew Stafford, easily.
Yeah, mine is Matthew Stafford. Take us through your pick, Trim.
My pick?
Yeah. You picked Matt Stafford, man. Let's take me through it.
I'm going to pick Stafford because I think what they won, 13 games this year?
Yeah, I think so.
13 games. I believe he had 4,000 passing yards. Obviously, arguably the best division of football. So, obviously, he has the strength to schedule over Drake May.
Absolutely.
And then I seen something the other day that said it was about the Patriots' schedule. And I want to say, like, majority of the teams they played, their head coach has been fired.
Yeah.
I think except, like, four.
Two or three.
Oh, yeah, I did see that stat. That was crazy.
And it's the easiest schedule by winning percentage in decades.
Exactly. So, Matthew Stafford's numbers for this season, 4,707 passing yards, which is first in the NFL. 46 passing touchdowns, which is 46 passing touchdowns, which is also first in the NFL. He's fourth in quarterback rating with 71, and he only has 8 interceptions.
And I know we grew up in a period of, like, lots of crazy quarterback seasons, so it doesn't, like, really, like, compute as much. But 46 touchdown passes is top 10 all-time season. Like, that's a top 10 passing touchdown season.
Exactly.
So we gotta acknowledge that.
Like, obviously, it's going to go down. It's not going to be one of those exciting seasons. But I think it's also because, obviously, Matthew Stafford's in his last, two, 3 years of his career.
Yeah, he's on the back end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes this more impressive. Drake May will have multiple opportunities to win the NFL MVP, but I think just because of the teams he played, granted, you could only play who's in front of you. I just think Matthew Stafford's season was more impressive.
Right, because if you play the worst teams in the league, I got to see you go do something historic. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a historically bad schedule, you need to have a historically good season. You can't have an above-average season and get the MVP.
Yeah.
Q?
Yeah. Only reason why I said Drake May is because of how people, you know, vote for the MVP nowadays. I think it's big on narrative and storylines, and I think Drake May has a storyline, you know, second year player bringing, and I know Mike Vrabel has, you know, we had to give a lot of credit to Mike Vrabel, but you know, the narrative that Drake May, he's doing this with lesser talent on his offense, and the Patriots immediately went 14-3 after last season, and he still put up decent stats, 4,400 yards, 31 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. That's a good stat line, but I think the turnaround that the Patriots had, and along with Drake May, had some MVP moments, if you want to call it, like the first Bills game. I think that's definitely when he made those passes to Stephon Diggs to keep the game alive. I think those are MVP moments that he had. I'd say the Bucks game is an MVP moment from Drake May. So I think it's more along the storylines for Drake May, more so than just unfiltered stats or, you know, something ridiculous that he's doing.
As much as I kind of agree with you, storyline is such a terrible reason to get the MVP.
It is.
What you mean? It did it last year, low key.
And I didn't agree with it. It should have been Lamar.
So is it? So I think for the NFL MVP, you said the turnaround for the New England Patriots, and I want to say, is that more Mike Vrabel or is that more Drake May?
If you ask me personally, I think it's more Mike Vrabel.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I'm going off of what criteria how people view the MVP as nowadays, because and a lot of times it's also seen as who's the quarterback of the best team. You know, sometimes it's just clear cut like that. But I think, you know, I'm not saying that Drake May is even a better quarterback than Matthew Stafford, but I just think the narrative around his season is that, okay, you have a quarterback, he put up these good numbers, he flipped his team's record all the way up to 14-3, and he's had his moments in the season that you can go back to and say, oh, this guy looks like MVP.
Josh?
Yeah, to not belabor the point, reason why I chose Matthew Stafford, again, Matthew Stafford has been a baller ever since he stepped into the league.
Yep.
He took my property franchise, the Detroit Lions, made them somewhat relevant. Like, my word, the amount of bad years that we had, but Stafford just kept on balling. I will never forget the game where this man led a touchdown scoring drive with a dislocated shoulder. And the fact that this man has not won the MVP yet, despite being on such a bad team and making them somewhat relevant, is absurd to me. And this year, he's been balling out. No one deserves this MVP more than Matthew Stafford.
Chris?
Kind of allude what Trim said, most touchdowns, most passing yards, fourth in rating. But also, what I like to factor in, what Matthew Stafford has done, in the toughest division of football, you still were able to go 12-5 right under the Seahawks. And I think, my thing is with Drake May, I think kind of like what Q said, it's just trying to give it to the guy who's on just the best team. And honestly, Drake May's stats were pretty good this year, but honestly, I think that's just more of coaching instead of like the player.
I'm going to have to agree with all of y'all, but now we're going to move on to Offensive Player of the Year. Who is y'all's Offensive Player of the Year, Trim?
I think everybody should have the same one. JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jake Boy.
Wait, quick. We're going quick again. Q.
My fault.
You know, I'll be different. I'm not going to be different. I'm going to go JSN.
Josh?
Puka Nacua, maybe?
Chris?
You're for real?
I'm not mad at that, Josh, though. JSN.
Okay. I like it.
You know what? Actually, I will be different. Bijan Robinson.
Oh, okay, that's not, no way. Let's not act like that's not a good answer.
Bro, Bijan?
Okay. Bro, that's not a bad answer. And there's a case for Christian McCaffrey, too. Like,
I would rather him than Bijan, man.
Bijan had a crazy game. Bijan beat the Rams by himself, basically.
Bijan, again, he had, like, you can go back and pinpoint games where Bijan Robinson just won those games himself.
14 yards, though. Like, I can't really.
Which is like scrimmage yards, though.
No, he's fourth in like rushing yards.
Nah, because you got to add the receiving.
I mean, I will add receiving, but that's why I say McCaffrey would be a better answer than Bijan to me.
In this category, I almost don't care like who wins because of the season. Because Puka's had a great season. JSN's had a great season.
I wish James Cook could get some of his flowers too.
I'm not giving him
offensive player of the year, but I just want to point out he did win the rushing title.
Solid season. He gonna get paid. But
But Josh Allen doesn't have any help, right? He is the rushing leader.
Who said? I never said
everybody
that.
Says that.
No, everybody says. I never said that. Help with 2 years.
I never said he don't have help.
Let's hear the analysis. JSN guys, go ahead. Why JSN?
Well, he was literally like one, maybe two games away from breaking the receiving record.
Yep.
But he finished eighth all time. This is the eighth best all time receiving yard season.
Mm-hmm.
Led the league, obviously, in yards, fourth in receptions, 10th in touchdowns, which is tied for sixth. And he averaged 15 yards per reception, which finished 10th in the league. I don't think it's really a debate,
okay,
in my opinion.
Then, Josh, why is Puka the guy?
Honestly, I won't lie to you. Never I've seen the stats again, because I remember that Puka and JSN were kind of sort of similar, but honestly, JSN has it over him.
Correct.
He has 10 less receiving yards. He has 10 less receptions, excuse me. And then he has more receiving yards. He sits at 1,793 receiving yards. Puka Nacua, with 129 catches, sits at 1,715 receiving yards. So honestly, JSN, I think I want to flip my pick to JSN because look, them Ohio State receivers nice,
Hey, man, one thing Matt Stafford could do is feed a receiver, man. He's always going to have a ton of catches.
Puka had more
now
targets,
we could,
too.
Now, we could. Puka is not a crazy choice. If you think about it, he's got to share the ball with Devontae this year.
Yeah, but Devontae wasn't really...
Devontae was a main red zone threat, though. Like, he had 14 touchdowns.
He was,
Devontae's nasty.
This is Devontae.
So you're
going to
say Devontae wasn't... Like,
he's not washed.
No. Yeah, he's not washed.
Not washed, but like...
He is washed this year.
He's just not the best receiver in the league anymore. He's not washed.
I know that.
This isn't Green
That's
Bay
not
Packers.
Washed. It's not
yes,
Green
it
Bay Packers.
Because when you think of Devontae Adams, you think of wide receiver one. Devontae Adams is not a wide receiver one anymore.
He'd be a wide receiver one on most teams, though.
Yeah, but most teams don't have a wide receiver one.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
They actively do.
Every team has a wide receiver one.
That's how a wide receiver one works. Every team has one.
Every team has one.
Every team has one.
And then he's not Jerry Rice in the Seahawks, though. He's not washed. So, okay, we got offensive play of the year. It's consensus JSN. Defensive play of the year. This one should be real easy. Quick.
This one.
Trim.
Miles Garrett.
Q.
Miles Garrett.
Josh.
Miles Garrett.
Chris.
Miles Garrett.
I don't think we need to talk about this.
Nah.
He broke the sack record.
Post TFLs too.
Yeah.
Don't need to talk about this one.
Enriched in history.
Offensive rookie of the year. This one's a little divisive because if at the beginning of the season is easy one answer. Middle of the season is probably easy one answer.
Who I still think it's an easy answer.
Tyler Warren was the answer for a long time, but now I don't think it is. Who do we think? Trim. Yeah, he was. When Ibuka got hurt, it was just Tyler Warren.
I was about to say it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Trim.
I'm going Tetero McMillan, T-Mac.
Okay, Q.
Can you come back to me real quick?
Josh.
McMillan.
Chris.
T-Mac.
Okay. I like Ibuka, but he fell off because of injury, and then he just wasn't the same after he came back. I like Tyler Warren. I like Exciting White in New York.
I'm just glad it's no quarterback this year. I'm just glad of that.
But
yeah,
I'm not going to give Jackson Dart no love.
Bro, we're not giving Jackson Dart no love.
I gave him a little bit of love. Which I just said.
Bro, we're not. Bro, come on, man.
Q, you ready yet?
T-Mac.
Okay.
Just go back with T-Mac.
Bro, it's sad because it feels like a whole different season when Ibuka was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyler Warren, his quarterback got messed up, so his season fell apart. But he was a fantasy. He was a good pickup.
Had Ibuka stayed healthy, I think he would have definitely probably been the pick. But I think that injury opened the door for T-Mac to, you know, get hot at the right time and win the offensive rookie of the year.
This one's a little more difficult. Defensive rookie of the year. Quick. Trim?
I'm going to say Nick Emawari.
Okay. That's a good pick. Q?
Xavier Watts.
Interesting.
Wow.
Josh?
Swing back to me.
Oh, no.
Chris?
Carson Schlesinger.
Hey, I like that pick.
Hey, there he is. Schlesinger.
I like Trim's pick,
remember
though,
his
but
name.
That boy Nick has been balling the whole season.
You know what's crazy? I can get to my analysis of why I'm picking him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I didn't know he was a rookie.
You did? Oh,
even Warren?
I didn't know he was a rookie. I stopped
like
watching the draft after, you know, maybe half of day two.
That's not ridiculous.
So so when watching him, I'm like, he a problem. And then, you know, check up some stats and stuff like that. He's probably the best. I think he's the best rookie secondary player.
For sure.
And he's leading. He's on what, a top five defense, top two defense?
Something like that.
I think he's the rookie of the year. Defensive rookie of the year.
I really liked Carson Schlesinger, and as a Ravens fan, I see him a lot. And I was in Cleveland for the Ravens Browns game, and he causes problems, man. Like, it's one thing seeing it on TV, seeing a guy be all over the place on just in person is nuts. He tackled Lamar in the open field. He picked off Lamar on a tipped ball. It's biasly, I would say Carson Schlesinger, but it's probably Nick Emawari.
Really? Think so?
Yeah.
Even with Carson Schlesinger having the most tackles in TFLs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's pretty close, and I'm not mad if either of them get it. I think people are going to see the playoffs. You know,
yeah,
like,
Nick has been balling.
Because he's been good in the playoffs, too, and people forget it's a regular season award all the time. Josh, did we get an answer out of you?
Yes, it's Schlesinger as well. Yeah. I just couldn't remember
his name. Why he picked Xavier Watts, though?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was trying to be a little bit different, but I just feel like Watts just jumps out every time you watch a Falcons game, because you're not watching a lot of Falcons games.
Wow.
But Watts is always, you always hear his name called making a play, whether it's a tackle or whether it's a good play in the secondary. I just feel like Xavier Watts, especially for his draft position, I feel like he was someone who was overlooked, or not overlooked, but like people thought about it a little bit too much. I feel like
Didn't he pick off Matt Stafford twice in that game or something?
I think so. Yeah, and like people always overthink the safety position. They're like, oh, it's a safety. We don't need a draft in this high. If they're good, draft them.
That's that Nick Inman war. That's that Kyle Hamilton. That's that Xavier Watts.
That's why Caleb Downs should probably be a number one pick. But
you know. I don't know about number one, but and get you a Mike McDonald too, because he made Kyle Hamilton and then he made Nick Inman war, man. So
I can hear where this is going.
Okay, so we've decided defensive rookie of the year. Now let's go comeback player of the year.
CMC.
Q. Do y'all know the finalists? Because this is kind of a... Let me pull up the finalists.
CMC, Hutch, and who else?
Don't say Phillip Rivers, though.
No. I'm still upset they stole it from DeMar Hamlin.
Trevor Lawrence, Stephon Diggs, and Dak Prescott.
What?
Dak Prescott.
Dak was injured.
Dak was hooping in early in the season.
Didn't Trevor play again? Like, didn't he finish the season out last season? Why is he come back play of the year? Like, he got a concussion and came back, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I think they just throw him. They just throw him.
I wish I would have known the finalists came out before I started saying names. But,
I guess we should have looked at the finalists, but like, this is the only one that really matters. We could have said any name. We picked people that were in the finalists most of the time. Trim, who's your finalist?
Comeback?
Yeah, who's your?
I'm going to go Dak, man.
Okay, Q?
Oh, no, I'm lying. I'm going CMC.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say CMC.
Josh?
CMC.
Chris?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Why?
Because if we look at last year, this man was basically going to win Defensive Player of the Year last year at the start he was on. If him to get hurt and basically come back and be dominant again, like he was fourth in sack, 14 TFLs, 4 forced fumbles, like, to me, I give it to him.
I would too, because again, big Detroit Lion fan. But at the same time, though, I think the biggest problem is he was like getting into the backfield. It's just that he could never complete the play, if you will. Like watching the games this year, he was always back there. And he would be just a half step too slow. And I mean, we can dive into this, but that's probably going to be for another day.
I mean, I'm going to take CMC just because he's had such an incredible season. I can't say what people say about. I could probably say that. Nah, I'm not gonna leave it. But he was the only person in that offense at one point. Like his whole starting offense got injured around him, and he's the 49ers offense in the back end of the season. He was doing a great job. He was probably their leading receiver. He was getting so many touches. It's hard to not say CMC. He was pretty much the 49ers offense, even though
he was.
Shout out to Jeff, but we don't like the 49ers anymore.
They're garbage.
Coach of the year.
This is easy.
This is not easy.
It's not easy.
This is not easy.
It's not easy.
Everybody who's a finalist, you can make a case for.
Yeah.
Bro, I feel like it's one guy that's.
Let's hear it.
Can we name the finalists real quick?
Yeah, I can.
I mean, I have my answer, but I don't know.
The finalists are Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Kyle Shanahan, and Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
I'm going with Ben Johnson.
Interesting.
Wow.
I'm going Liam Cohen.
Interesting.
Wow. Ben Johnson.
Okay.
What?
Chris.
Mike Vrabel.
Mike McDonald.
I was gonna say Mike McDonald, but then I'm like, Kyle Shanahan, his old team got hurt pretty much.
That's a good point.
But then you Ben Johnson,
didn't you?
But I said Ben Johnson. Bears were 4-3 last year.
This is one of the best coach of the year lineups.
No, for sure. The Bears, dysfunctional organization, dysfunctional coaching staff last year. Had Caleb Williams. They needed somebody in who can stabilize the franchise, call plays offensively, and put their star quarterback in the position to succeed. And I think Ben Johnson succeeded in doing so.
I think you're correct, but I don't know if he's coach of the year. Q, what's your?
I went with Liam Cohen because not only has he helped turn around the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's helped, you know, finally have Trevor Lawrence, you know, play to his potential. And I don't know if y'all saw, like, the latter half of the season, Jacksonville was running through these teams.
Yeah, they were.
And they did it with Travis Hunter getting hurt in the beginning of the season. They were bad the year last year, got the top pick, drafted Travis Hunter, and Travis Hunter, their top draft pick, didn't even play.
Listen, and as someone who's from Jacksonville, not a Jags fan, but from Jacksonville, the city was excited.
Yeah, and that takes a good team and a good coach to be able to do that.
And Jacksonville is so depleted, they don't get this excited much because they know there's another shoe about to drop with the Jags. But they were really excited. So, you know, Liam Cohen's doing a good job. Josh?
Reason why I said Ben Johnson is because, again, this man took a Bears team that was really struggling. And, you know, everyone had a little bit of skepticism because they were like, Ben Johnson is only an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. How would he do as a head coach? And, you know, the first two games, they lose, especially game 2. He returns to Detroit and he gets blown out by the Lions. And everyone was doubting this man. But you know what Ben Johnson did? He said, all right, we take those two losses to the chin. And what did he do? He turned that Bears team around and got them to the playoffs. He made this Bears team competitive. He has completely transformed that offense, the defense. He's done everything that a head coach is supposed to do. And this is not how good the Bears were supposed to look. No one thought that the Bears would have a turnaround this quickly with Ben Johnson at the helm. That's why, honestly, he deserves to be Coach of the Year.
Chris?
Okay, I'm going to use Michael Trim's phrase. You guys love losing. So let's just get to Mike Vrabel. He took his team to the bowl, who won 4 games last year, the second seed in the AFC, and y'all can say the Bears are supposed to be a decent team. Nobody expected the Patriots to go from basically the bottom of the NFL to now the top of the NFL.
That's cap.
So wait, you really expected the Patriots to go from basically 4 wins up to 14?
No, but if you look at like the over-unders for wins and losses, the Patriots had a higher over-under than the Bears did.
Okay, now let's look at something else. They haven't won 10 games since 2021, and they haven't won the division title since 2017. This was a franchise who basically was just going to be hanging on by just Tom Brady's success or anything. Mike Vrabel came in and changed that whole culture.
Okay, well, my pick, Mike McDonald, you know, he took over a not very good Seahawks team, pretty middle of the road, and then he went and won 10 games last season. And that was pretty good. But then he came in, he was number one in the NFC, which is the toughest conference now. It was the AFC for a long time, but he's in the toughest division in football, toughest conference in football. What do you mean? What do you mean what? And then he won. He won 14 games in the toughest division in football.
The Cardinals are in that
Okay, but they also have the Rams and the 49ers, two playoff teams.
AFC also has the Broncos too.
Oh, the AFC has the Broncos, but it's not in their division.
Y'all gotta understand.
Oh, you're talking about division. Okay.
We said
these awards are narrative based. Do y'all not understand that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams are the best duo in Chicago since Mike and Scottie Pippen?
Like, wait, listen.
Like,
listen.
Y'all talked about, he talked about Jacksonville. He talked about Jacksonville and how their fans, you know, they really like appreciated this season and whatnot. Do y'all not understand the Bears haven't seen winning like this, or the city of Chicago hasn't seen winning like this in 15 years?
So let's put respect on Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall.
It's not.
They won a Super Bowl
since 2017.
Yes, yeah, that's 27. The Patriots not have seen good anything.
When was the last time anything Chicago has been in the playoffs of the major sports?
Chicago literally.
The Patriots made the playoffs with Mac Jones.
Exactly. I know that, but still, wasn't a good. But they weren't happy with
Mac
Jones.
All right, we got to keep it pushing. So we got to talk about the Super Bowl right before we move on to the NBA. So officially, let's get a little bit of analysis. We did our picks last episode, but we have to talk about the keys to the game. What is the keys to your pick happening? Who did you pick, and what are the keys to them winning the Super Bowl, Trim?
So, as y'all know, big Sam Darnold advocate, big Baby Brady advocate.
Yes.
I'm picking the Seattle Seahawks, and I think their keys to the game are slow down New England's run game.
Okay.
Make Drake May beat you.
Great. I agree.
And that way, you can rely on your secondary, who has had a very big impact on your season and this playoff run.
Q?
I picked Seattle, and my key to the game is really get out to a fast start. Don't give the Patriots any sort of confidence. Looking at the Seahawks, if you saw the 49ers game, again, opening play, Rashid Shaheed kick return for a touchdown. That immediately kind of deflated the 49ers, and it was just belt from there. And I think the Seahawks, the last Super Bowl they won against Denver Broncos, some kind of play needs to happen where it just takes the life out of your opponent. And then the Seahawks, we know they're talented enough to just put their foot on the gas and just be comfortable.
Josh?
I chose the Seahawks, and quite frankly, the keys to the game are simple. It's just like Trim and Q were saying. Number one, start off the game fast. And with starting off the game fast, do not look down upon the New England Patriots. You know that right now, the biggest reason why they're here is because of their defense. So obviously, put pressure on Mac Jones. Take away the run game.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. Dang.
My fault. But yeah, so with Drake May. Take away his passing lanes, force him to beat you with his legs, and with that, have someone as a spy in the sense to watch him, to minimize his running lanes, force him to throw interceptions, and just make the big plays.
Chris?
I'm taking Seattle. And I'm going to be a little bit different. I think it all's going to come down to, like Trim say, baby Brady. I think that if you...
Why are we quoting Trim this episode?
Listen.
The second quote.
Mr. J score.
No.
Okay, I ain't going that far. But all right. But looking at Seattle, honestly, I'm not really worried about their defense. Their defense is going to make plays and force like the Patriots to commit, you know, mistakes and a couple turnovers. I think if Sam Darnold can take care of the ball and Kenneth Walker can really get going, like, they're just going to, like Q said, they're just going to start off hot where the Patriots just can't be able to come back.
I agree with all y'all's takes. I think the key to I picked the Seahawks for first and foremost. But I think the key to this game will be the Seahawks D-line, because Drake May will make a mistake and you have to capitalize. So if we're going to be Will Anderson and not be able to pick up a fumble, that bugged me a lot. He missed the fumble like three times.
Yeah.
And then Drake May, one thing he's going to do is he's going to chuck the ball down the field and he's going to keep doing it. And he does it a lot and eventually it works. It doesn't always work. A lot of times it's third and long and he chucks the ball down the field and it's incomplete and they punt. But if you do it eight times a game, eventually, by the fourth quarter, a couple of them are going to hit. So you got to make sure you capitalize on his mistakes. And I think it'll be a pretty easy path for Seahawks to win the Super Bowl as long as they capitalize on Drake May's mistakes and the score, obviously. You can't be in a low-scoring game with the Patriots. I don't think that's a good idea. I want to promo one of our new segments we're going to be doing in the future for this podcast. We're going to be rebuilding teams, and we're going to be doing that through the draft. So from the podcast after the Super Bowl for 10 weeks, we're going to be picking three teams and doing their first few draft picks. And so each playmaker is going to come with their draft pick ready. Who do they think they're going to take out of college? And we're going to be rebuilding each team through the draft. But now we're going to move on to the NBA. And we're going to be talking the trade deadline because it comes up in a few days. I believe it's Wednesday.
The 5th.
Yeah, it's the 5th.
Is it early this year?
Yeah, it's the 5th. And it's the 2nd right now. So we got a couple days. And the biggest trade talk has been Giannis. Where do we think Giannis is going to go?
So sick of this guy.
Give me some mock trades and some landing points.
I have one trade.
Okay, let me hear it.
Honestly, I say he goes to Cleveland for Evan Mobley and a few picks. Just hear me out. Because he already said he doesn't want to go to a tanking team. He wants to go to a team that's ready to contend and win. So I feel like for Milwaukee and the Cleveland sake, give him to Cleveland, you get Evan Mobley and probably a couple picks for him.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that one yet. I don't know if I think they would do it, but I've definitely haven't heard that one. Probably Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland would do it, but anyone else?
I mean, if anything, holistically, I have like probably two or three teams. The first team I have is, of course, like everyone was speculating, the Warriors. I think that probably Draymond Green, probably a couple of
I'm going to stop you right there. Yeah, Draymond Green only has value on the Warriors. No one else wants it.
You telling me Milwaukee's going to say, yeah, we'll take Draymond for Giannis?
Draymond only has value on the Warriors.
Well, said, it's going to be a couple more people, but
Keep going. I don't want to cut you off. Keep going.
I don't know. Like, that's why I say this is like a shot in a sense. Like, this is a shot in the dark just being out there. Probably, like, maybe Draymond, Kuminga. I don't think they're going to get rid of Pazemski. But probably one of their guards in exchange for Giannis.
I'm sorry not to cut you off, but if Pazemski is the difference in between getting Giannis on my team or not,
I'm giving him.
I'm giving him a kiss ticket today.
True. Honestly, I could also see him maybe even going to New York, probably cat for Giannis, because that wouldn't be a bad trade at all. Because as we know, the Knicks are looking for that one final piece, if you will, going to be able to make that big push. As we know, Giannis is a great rim protector. He's a better rim protector than Cat. And honestly, he will definitely work well with Mike Brown's offense and definitely with his defense. So
you lose a little bit of shooting, though. You lose a little bit of ability to stretch the floor. A lot of shooting.
But at the same time, though, you now have a better defensive presence, though.
And do we need a big plug up from 36 feet? He shoots a lot of deep threes for me.
I don't want a guy that they just gonna just wave off ego.
But you still got Mikal Bridges. You still got Brunson. You still have OG Anunoby. You still have people. It's just that with Cat always shooting the three, if you will, it's just not always needed to have a big fella shooting the threes. Sometimes you need that one big fella who you can rely on to just stay in the paint, get the easy buckets and definitely scare off people from driving.
They did that, and then they lost to the Pacers in 7 because they didn't have a big that could shoot.
Okay, Q, do you have one?
Just to offer a couple of different teams, I'm gonna go out west with the one. I'm gonna say the Spurs. I don't think they need to do anything, but if they want to, they can go out and get Giannis. They have the picks for it. They have the young players. Again, though, they're 33-16. They're the 2 seed in the West, and they're honestly equipped to beat. I'm not saying they're the favorites to beat the Thunder, but they're equipped to
they've
beat
done
the
it. They've done it.
They're not beating us in those 7 games.
But if someone were to beat the Thunder, I think it would be the Spurs. So I don't think they need to do anything right now. But if they wanted to, they have the young players. Like, you know, I guess contract-wise, they would have to give up De'Aaron Fox. And then,
but I mean, is losing De'Aaron Fox really that bad if you're going to get Giannis in return?
That would kind of hurt.
I think it would hurt. I think they need a guard that can go get them a that they know can get them a bucket.
Yeah, it depends on who else you're giving up.
Harper can go get him a bucket.
This is like what I'm saying. Like, you can't give up young guys, but
are you going to throw? I mean, Dylan Harper would have to be gone in this scenario.
That's why you don't make the trade.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You can't give up both guards. Devin Vassell's gone.
You can give up
Castle. Devin Vassell and Kelvin Johnson. You're not getting Castle. You can't get Harper. You can't
get one of them's going to have
the Bucks
to go.
You got to give him Castle. You got to give him Castle.
No, you can't give him Castle.
The Bucks aren't getting. The Bucks aren't accepting Kelvin Johnson.
Can't give him Harper
and Vassell.
Exactly. You can't give him either one.
Yeah, you can't give him Harper. Yeah, nah. It's going to be a tough trade because you're going to be losing some good like young guys, and it's hard to give up for Giannis. That's a win now thing, and like
and the other
Spurs of the future.
Yeah.
The other team I would say is Houston.
Who are you giving up?
KD? You giving up KD?
Really?
No,
anybody. Nah, Sengun.
Yeah, I would say, Sengun, yeah.
I'm not mad
Hold
at
on.
It.
Well,
I'm not mad at it.
I'm not too mad,
it would
but
be something like Sengun. I mean, Reed Shepard, he's improved this season, but I think Reed Shepard's got to be gone. I think you can count on Van Vliet coming back, but Sengun, Reed Shepard. Honestly, Jabari Smith might have to be gone too. You know, this is Giannis we're talking about.
It is
so
true.
I don't want to give
but
us Jabari.
Like, just to ask you a quick question then, though, Q. Because again, this is a young Rockets team that we're talking about.
Right.
Do you really think that they would be willing to give up Sengun, who has been one of their cornerstone pieces, if you will, for their rebuild for Giannis?
100%.
Okay.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, MVP, DPOY, champion. Yeah, for sure.
True. I'm just saying because how old is Giannis
he's
right
like
now?
He's like 31.
31.
Oh, okay, he's not. Okay.
He's not too old.
Six
yet.
More years of his prime.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Six?
At least.
I give him 4 or 5 with his type of play style. I give him about 4.
Yeah, but
or 5.
I mean, he's been improved. I mean, he's a good mid-range shooter now. And even, you know, in his rookie year, he was a decent 3-point shooter. I think if he can transition his game towards, you know, being able to shoot the ball a bit more, I think Giannis can.
Y'all have to understand.
Play forever.
Al Horford is still a contributing piece on an NBA team.
He's not the same
though.
Play style.
He can shoot.
It's not the
yeah,
same
but
play
he's
style.
He's still a good facilitator. Giannis, you don't think Giannis can?
That's
facilitate?
Not his prime, though. You said his prime.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
6 more years of his prime.
Look at no. Kevin.
Following that,
look at Kevin Garnett.
No.
Look at Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett was able to shift this game around a little bit.
Kevin Garnett came in the league shooting though.
Yeah,
he was. I mean, he was, but. He wasn't like a sniper though, and like Kevin
from
Garnett,
mid range.
Yeah, but current Giannis is more than serviceable from mid range.
Yeah, but he's not Kevin Garnett from the mid range.
And he's a bad free throw shooter too.
Nonetheless, though, we're off topic.
And then wait, hold on. This is a trade I want to pose to you guys. I believe it would have to wait to the end of the season, so he's not going in the trade deadline. He's going at the end of the season. But this is a trade I've heard. To the Thunder. For J-Dub and a ton of picks.
No. I would call Sam Presti myself and tell him
because
no.
J-Dub's rookie contract, I believe, ends this season. He goes on to his big contract he signed. So he has to go at the end of the season, J-Dub and a bunch of picks.
No.
The Thunder fan says no, but what does everyone else think?
I mean,
I don't know. Go ahead,
Q, my fault.
I don't see the point because I feel like.
The point is the Spurs. The point's been the Spurs been kicking them. And
what
this is thinking that like the Thunder didn't go back to back. Let's say that they lose in the finals this year, or they lose in the playoffs somehow this year. Do you go to go back to the top of the mountain? We send somebody out, J Dub, replace him with one of the best players on planet Earth, and the future. You don't even sacrifice that much. You lose one player and you lose picks that not even yours for real, because you know they have a ton of picks that are from the Paul George trade and stuff.
I mean, honestly, I don't hate it, especially because the Thunder are in a unique situation where they don't they have such a surplus of resources that, you know, they don't have to completely get rid of their roster to get Giannis. But again, I don't really see the point of it. I feel like
it puts them in it puts Milwaukee in pure rebuild, and then it gives the Thunder like 3 years of win now.
They're win now right now.
No, but they're selling out for win now. Let's say they don't win this year. Like you just
I feel like they can use those picks for to get an even deeper team. Like you can get
an even deeper. How much deeper can the Thunder go, man?
No, because I'm with Q on that. I mean, it's like gonna lose some people.
Chill, Trip. Are we serious?
Hey, but to get back on track though,
30-year-old man.
Good luck, Josh.
Look, we gotta be honest with our team, right? So in terms for the Thunder, right? One of the main guys that potentially could be leaving soon. Again, you have Caruso. Caruso comes off the bench and he gives you meaningful minutes.
Why would Caruso leave? He's not gonna be a superstar somewhere.
Nah,
it's not a team friendly contract, and you come back and you win championships.
He can get paid though.
Yeah, he's gonna get paid.
Is Alex Caruso, 30-something year old Alex Caruso, gonna get paid?
Look, Caruso
he's
has
good,
a great,
but he's not.
Somebody's gonna pay.
We don't have the money.
Not a TV deal year.
This is a
Timothy Mozgov contract year.
All these teams at the bottom of the standings, they will pay Alex Caruso.
No, like who?
What team needs a backup guard that plays defense and shoots threes? Like
there's a lot of teams.
No, you don't need it. You don't
need Sacramento Kings. That's exactly. We just traded for DeAndre Hunter.
That's
a lot of teams that need.
He's not like a star though. He's a great role player, but like you're gonna pay crazy money for Alex Caruso? Enough money that would take him away from a championship team?
I don't know. Somebody will.
Okay.
And in Caruso's position, Caruso has his ring. Yeah, he has a ring already. Two. Yeah, he has multiple rings with multiple teams. So yeah,
I'm riding out the rest of my career winning rings from the bench, playing 20 minutes a game, winning rings.
Either that, or I can be like, I can be satisfied with my two rings. Go somewhere that's not Oklahoma City. No shade to Oklahoma. My mom's from there, but he can go somewhere else that's not Oklahoma City and just chill and hoop, make some money. And be good.
No pressure of winning. I don't want any rings.
Well, he's Alex Caruso. He's not Giannis. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Steph Curry or LeBron. He's Alex Caruso.
Listen, man.
He's
played
a key
winning.
Role, honestly, in right, both championships that he's won.
Right, he's played
who
a key role.
To,
but
who
he's
wants
not,
to hoop or you lose? Who wants to go out there and play defense? Because that's what they're recruiting him for. He's going to have to go out there and play hard defense and run back and get back on defense and shoot threes and be that. And
he's
for
a
terrible.
He's a fifth,
for
he's
the
a fifth
Kings?
Option. He's,
for
he's
the
a,
Kings?
He's a fifth option, though. So, like, he's no pressure on him, on Alex Caruso.
Caruso was never going to be a first option.
Right.
Fifth
so
option's kind of high.
Caruso's not playing for legacy.
A little high.
Caruso's not trying to get
right,
to the top 75.
But what makes you want
to
put in effort on the Kings? I'd rather put in an effort to win this ring, get my bonus.
Facts.
I'd rather stay.
Facts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
So honestly, it's a no it's to just, my... What if it's Chet? What if it's Chet and a bunch of picks?
No,
do you still make it?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, actually...
No,
that's what
no,
I'm saying.
Hold on. Actually...
If it's Chet... If it's Chet, I'm... No,
that's not too bad of an idea.
It.
Yes, you do lose a three-point shooter because Chet could shoot threes, but I mean, at the same time, though, Chet for Giannis, that's not really too crazy of an idea.
No, sir.
I don't understand the not. I mean, I would make the trade personally.
If it's Chet, I would make the trade.
Okay. Any other trade deadline predictions? Like, do we think Kat is gone? Like, who else do we think is gone at the deadline?
I got a trade.
What's your trade?
It's a swap.
Okay.
I think MPJ, because I've been seeing some stuff, and I'm low-key believing it a little bit. I think MPJ goes to the Warriors. I think they send Kuminga to the Nets.
Okay, that's not bad. I don't. Did the contracts match up for that? Isn't MPJ getting paid crazy?
I mean, MPJ is going to be higher, but to me, it makes both teams, because now the Nets can go in.
Tank
extra? You can go right into like being bottom with the tanking, and now Kuminga, you get the hoop. And for the Warriors, you've been begging for so much help to go with Steph. Jimmy's out. Okay, now you have another score with MPJ.
I think, well, honestly, that's not a bad take holistically. Because, like you said, it'll give the Warriors another shooter. And honestly, they could try to recreate the success they had earlier on during the dynasty where they had multiple three-point shooters.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you guys don't mind, I think there's two players that have to be the most confusing, if you will, because they're in very tricky predicaments. You got John Morant and LaMelo Ball. Both these players on a team where basically it just feels as if the teams have kind of sort of given up on them, if you will, like they're ready to cut ties. But the problem is, who would actually want Ja Morant or LaMelo Ball?
Look,
I think they're stuck, honestly.
I would take both of them on my team right now.
But I'm your
Kings fan, of course, I don't care.
The problem is, right, you have Ja Morant, who has been, let's just be honest, he's been acting childish. He's not shooting the three ball well. But, like, who would want to take on the potential problems that come with getting Ja Morant?
Look, winning solves everything.
It does.
Is he going to make you win?
But what is he doing on the court
right
now?
When where?
When where?
Anywhere.
LaMelo Ball would probably be the first one picked up out of those two.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd much rather have LaMelo.
Yeah, I'm gonna. He can't pass the ball.
He can't be the green light he got anymore. The green light. Some of the shots he takes is pretty funny to watch.
He's still in high school a little bit.
He does, but I mean, at the same time, though, he's a good steady shooter in a sense, and then he could fit pretty well being a second option.
I think I've been saying this for a while now. I think LaMelo would fit really well with the Raptors. And I mean, the Raptors, they kind of fell off a little bit from their they were the clear two seed at the beginning of the season, but they're still right there, only what, two games behind the two seed now. So I think if they're really serious about making that big jump, I think you can get rid of IQ.
Dang, that's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt, but it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade, and then whoever else is in here to just make the contracts work. Well, IQ has a big contract, so it could work. But they wouldn't have to give up too much or get rid of their entire team to go get LaMelo.
And we're thinking Kat stays in New York?
Yes.
I think Kat stays. Yeah. Some teams that I think will make a move, I look at the Western Conference, and obviously it's so close, and the Western Conference is so deep with talent. And I look at two teams that could potentially make deals. I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm.
You're going to send them back to Minnesota?
Minnesota is so tricky.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying they're going to trade for Conley and Towns. I'm saying they're going to just make trades. I look at Jonathan Kuminga as a guy who could be on the move for the Phoenix Suns. Jonathan Kuminga, Chris Paul, two guys that I think could go to the Suns. Chris Paul returning to the Suns after formerly playing there. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I've seen Giannis rumors.
Brian Windhorst did announce like the Timberwolves are coming after Giannis.
A guy I could see them potentially becoming interested in is DeMar DeRozan. From the Sacramento Kings.
Take him, it's crazy.
Look, I'm all in for DP or AJ or Boozer or Caleb Wilson.
Minnesota,
anybody.
They're not sending them.
As long as the Kings get that top four, you can take anybody. Take Sabonis too.
They're not sending them.
Okay. I've never liked Sabonis. Don't get me started on Sabonis.
What's wrong with him? He's not even that bad, bro.
I could also see the Grizzlies blowing it up.
I just remember it's been a few years now, but I would just distinctly remember watching him play the Warriors in the playoffs.
Come on now, don't do that.
And they just left him open at the elbow. Not even like at the three, at the elbow. And it was all clanks, and I can't get it out of my head, bro. he's just bad. He's a playmaker and a rebounder.
He's so bad.
Bro, he was all NBA 2 years in a row.
And I didn't agree. And like outside like 6 feet from the basket, he's kind of bunts besides like swinging the rock and rebounding. Like I don't like watching that dude at all.
I really don't.
I don't like Sabonis. But anyways, we're going to there it is. Okay, we're going to talk All-Star weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is an All-Star, 22nd time.
Shout out to the GOAT.
He's not having his best season, man.
Yeah, but I mean,
people are specifically annoyed that he got it over Kawhi Leonard, who's having a pretty good season, you know, actually a pretty great season when he's on the floor.
His best season.
His best season in a while when he's on the floor, and the Clippers have been playing much better as of recent. Do you think LeBron earned it over Kawhi, or is it because he's LeBron?
That's the conversation we're talking about.
Is LeBron deserving of an All-Star in general? Specifically, people have been saying, you know, Kawhi's having a great season. The Clippers have been much better as of recent, last 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean,
does he deserve it over Kawhi or in general?
To be honest, appreciate it, Chris. To be honest, though, Kawhi definitely deserved it. And even LeBron was talking about it, because, like, when he was interviewed and asked, like, do you really even care about the All-Star games? It wasn't exactly like that, but it was basically like, how do you feel about the All-Star game? Even LeBron was like, I mean, it is what it is. It's either I get in or I don't get in. So definitely Kawhi should have been in above LeBron, because like we said, Kawhi has been playing outstanding. And a healthy Kawhi is a scary Kawhi. We've known this for a long time.
Absolutely. He's never healthy, though.
And he has spearheaded this Look, he was pretty healthy when he was younger with the Spurs and Popovich.
Oh, well, yeah. That's because he was 24.
Yeah, his
and he's
knees
not anymore.
Actually worked at that time.
But, I mean, still, like I said, the healthy Kawhi is a scary Kawhi.
Indeed.
Nah, I mean, I definitely think they gave it to LeBron just because he's LeBron. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Kawhi numbers, in 35 games, he's averaging 27, shooting 49, 39, and 92 with two steals.
That's yeah, and he hasn't missed that many games.
Did you say 49, 39, 92?
Yeah, like 49 from the field, 39 from three.
Let's round it up. That's 50, 49, if
yeah,
you 50, ask me.
Yeah, so 50, 40, 90 in basically an aging Kawhi Leonard. Like, that's dang near all NBA type of numbers. So mm-hmm. I definitely think he deserved a nod to get into the All-Star.
And then LeBron's numbers are dropping because, again, this man is 41 years old.
Yeah,
like,
it's Lucas team
he's
now.
Near
yeah,
the end of he's near the end of his career. A lot of people think that he might play next year. Holistically, I think that this is his last year.
I get one more and then that's it.
Maybe, but I mean, he does.
I feel like Bron is the type to definitely have a farewell tour.
Yeah.
You know, unless something crazy, you know, God forbid something crazy happens and he just has to retire, I think he's definitely gonna have one more year. Now, whether it's on the Lakers or not, I don't know. But I think LeBron is definitely the type to have a farewell tour.
I see him going to Cleveland, though, for the farewell tour.
No, he's not going back.
No, I think he'll stay in LA.
He's not going back.
I just have one thing to say.
Because Bronny's not coming.
They tarnishing that man's name with Cleveland. I wouldn't come back.
Would you pick up Bronny if you were the Cavs?
If I get Bron, yeah.
I would.
If you get Bron.
Well, I would. Why not?
Low-key, genuinely, I mean.
But I have a big problem.
Is he waiting on Bryce?
Right, no,
you can't wait on Bryce.
Hold on, Trent. What's the problem you got?
This is called the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
Okay. The league's best players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have Denny Avdija.
He's hooping.
He's an All-Star.
Over Kawhi. 26.
Over Kawhi. You have Norman Powell and Pascal Siakam in the All-Star game.
Pascal Siakam is a multi-time All-Star.
Yeah, Norman Powell.
Do you not understand?
Do you not understand?
No, it's world.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Do you not understand that the Indiana Pacers have 13 wins? That is the lowest since Kobe Bryant got in.
Somebody
got
to get him to those 13.
On his farewell tour.
Somebody got to get him to those 13.
Okay, so Trim, you're telling me
Joel Embiid, Bam Adebayo, Kawhi Leonard.
Wait, so Bam is cool, but Norman isn't?
Norman's not the best player on his team.
You don't have to be the best player on your team to be an All-Star.
Oh, my goodness.
Scottie Pippen's a multi-time All-Star. He was with Michael Jordan a bunch.
LeBron's
yeah, but they both made
Luke
it. That's what I'm saying.
Player.
That's what I'm saying. They both made it.
I don't know why Bam isn't one. Because if it's not East-West, why is Bam not one? Bam was carrying the team for a little while.
This is probably the worst All-Star game that we've had in a
while. It always gets worse. Bad. It always gets worse.
Like, this is terrible.
What's wrong with
it? It's been bad for a long time. Because are we going to watch the All-Star game? Anybody? And bring it to turn
no,
it on?
I mean, no, but like
maybe the
people,
first quarter.
Maybe the first quarter?
No.
Maybe Q a real ball watcher, like, so that's not even.
That's because the first quarter, it still has that excitement. By the second quarter, it's like they just.
I have no reason to watch. There's no magic plays in the
All-Star only
game.
Thing. Oh, my word. Look, the only
there
thing
won't be
that
for
I'm
a long time.
The only thing I'm looking forward to watching is the celebrities playing ball because they said I'm when Sham can shoot, so I want to see that.
Hey, man, they still have your celebrities in there anymore. Who's in the celebrity All-Star
yeah,
game?
Yeah, they'll have like influence. They just got random influence.
Some basketball guy. I haven't watched in 4 years.
Look, get the playmakers out. Get the playmakers out there.
Let's not get me out there, though. Someone that's not me. Okay, last topic of the day, fellas. How do we feel about the Detroit Pistons?
I think I have the right to start this
off.
Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, look, as an avid Detroit Pistons fan, I love them. I love the success. I won't lie to you, though. This is just the regular season, all right? Anyone can look good in the regular season. The playoffs is where it really matters. And as we saw last year, the Pistons were definitely doing better. But then when they had to go to the Garden, they got spanked. Well, I think it was like 4-1.
It was 4-2.
4-2, okay, 4-2. But I do like this squad a lot better. However, if the Pistons want to make a deep playoff run, I need to see a little more production out of everyone. Like, you have your main guys doing their thing. Cade, not mad at him. Mainly, I'm looking at Jaden Ivey. I just need Jaden Ivey to pick up his play. A couple of the bench players. Beef Stew, I just need him to continue to drop points, grab the boards.
Clarify who that is, just to...
Isaiah Stewart, excuse me. But yeah, if
not everyone's a Pistons fan. I knew what it was, but like for
that
everybody.
That is true. But look, as long as all the Pistons are able to work together, both offensively and defensively, and JD Vance keeps on coaching up these boys.
Did I say JD Vance? Lord have mercy. I am tripping today.
Hey, keep that in though.
No.
Ain't that a politician?
That's the vice president.
No. Please, editor, take that out.
No, we're keeping that in. We're not saying anything about him, but keep that in.
We should make Josh edit just because of that. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, I approve.
Look at this.
Wait, what?
Hey, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Just put me on it then, because
Listen. He already offered.
I'm saying, you just gotta take it. Pause.
Listen, are we?
No, that's trim.
What?
Nah, switch that up.
Nope, we can't do that.
Now, y'all can help each other. Good job.
We're gonna decide as the playmakers right now. Are we making Josh edit, or is we doing it by pick?
Yes, he offered already.
Q, are we going on?
He offered.
Hey, listen.
Hey, 3-2. Let's go. Yeah.
Listen. Joshua Bounds, you're learning audition. Yes, sir. We're keeping this part in.
Lord have mercy.
Hey, you can't keep this in because then people won't know what we're talking about. So you got to keep this in.
No.
All right. But great. Now, with the Pistons, though, I ain't going to lie. I'm very high on this team. I think at worst, they reached the conference finals.
Conference finals ceiling? Anyone else?
At best, they reached the finals.
I don't see this Pistons team winning two playoff series.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, as good as they've been.
Are we serious?
I feel like once the playoffs start, a team can game plan for you for 5, 6, 7 games.
What team is going to beat them?
Bro, they scream playoff breakdown.
Exactly. They remind me of the Atlanta Hawks so much. The 2015 Hawks.
But here's the thing, LeBron is not walking through the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, but Jalen Brunson is.
I'm not.
And Jalen Brown is.
Okay, how about this?
Teams that have proven to win in the playoffs.
Let's look at some. Okay, Josh, like you said, they lost 4-2 last year. But if you think about it, that was a hard fought.
It was.
It took Cat hitting 2 big shots in game 4. It's a Jalen Brunson crossing Saul Thompson out of shoes to win game 6. Like, y'all got a really solid team. Again, New York is the only team I feel like that could beat y'all in 7 games. But I feel like y'all have defenders to game plan for them and to be able to hang in with them.
Right. The rest of these teams, none of these other teams scare me. Even the Celtics, they don't have Jason Tatum.
They still have the best player in the series. Like, I'm not worried about their center no more.
Is Jaylen Brown the best player in the series?
Jaylen Brown is the best player in the series against the Pistons. He is.
He will be, but again, you got Jaylen Brown, and then, like, what, Simons ain't really showed you much.
Simons is having a great year.
But like, so let me get this straight. You're taking all of the Celtics over all of the Pistons?
I'm taking the Celtics as a team over the Pistons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bro, no. That defense that the Pistons got.
And
no.
I think the Celtics are a better coach team. I think the Knicks are a better
by
coach.
Who?
They're not
coached
a better
by who?
Co-
who
the
are
Knicks
they going
are not
by?
A better coach team.
Josh, what's the coach
JB
of the
Bickerstaff?
JB Bickerstaff.
Right.
JB Bickerstaff.
You sure?
Yes. Oh my word.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just don't. I mean, it's Eastern Conference. It's not moving me as much as the Pistons are.
So
I
think the Pistons are going to the finals.
I do.
Who said that?
I'm not gonna lie.
I do.
If I had to pick right now, I would say
honestly,
Pistons are
going. I would
you
pick
think
that
they're
team
going to the finals.
Yes.
I've said this many times since before the year started. They lose either in the conference finals or they lose in the finals. That's it.
They're losing in the second round.
Listen,
no, they're not.
The Pistons?
No, they're not.
The Pistons?
If they lose in the second round, that means they lose to the Raptors or the Cavaliers.
They lose to the Knicks in the second round. That's it.
How do they match up?
They
won't match up.
They won't match up.
Conference finals or finals.
Okay. So I'm gonna say they lose in the conference finals. I'm gonna say I think they're a good team. I don't think we can count on Cade to like hit those big playoff moment shots because we haven't seen it yet, you know. So we haven't seen it yet until he does it. You know, he could prove me wrong. He could definitely prove me wrong, but hasn't happened yet, so I can't say it'll happen.
I think Dern's a guy that gets exposed in the playoffs as well.
Exposed for what?
Offensive game. I think the
how's he gonna get exposed? Except for Joel Embiid. There's no.
I think the Cavs have. I think the Cavs have the bodies to throw at Jalen Durant.
No,
I'm not believing in that Cavs.
Cut Trim's mic.
I'm not saying the Cavs are better. I never said the Cavs are a better team. I just think defensively, what they have in that front line, can cause some problems.
Well, this brings us to our favorite part of the show.
What is that?
Our shout outs. You know, I'm going to shout out God first and foremost. What is funny?
No, I thought you said, I thought I'm like, shout out God. Like, you got a shout out.
No. Wait. No.
You said it so fast.
Shout out my Lord and Savior, Chris.
Hey, bro, you ain't got to yell.
I'm sure we usually do, you know, shout outs one at a time, uninterrupted. You know what I'm saying? Shout out the Playmakers. Shout out my family. Shout out the Ravens. We're on the climb back. Shout out the Heat for being mid as always. Go ahead, Q. Yeah, Q, actually.
All right. Shout out my Lord and Savior. Shout out my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. Shout out to the state of Mississippi, Madison County. You do get spared because there is ice storm going through the state. And shout out to DeMond and Sabonis.
No, bro.
So me? All right. First and foremost, gotta show love to God. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love. Gotta give a shout out to Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero, Anthony Black, Jay Suggs.
Shout out to God. Shout out to my family. Shout out to everyone who listens and supports the Playmakers. Love you guys.
Shout out God. Shout out my family. Shout out my city. And man, shout out to Chet Holmgren, man. First All-Star appearance.
Click the link in our bio if you want to give us any feedback or talk about any of our shows we have. It's in our bio, 905 The Flava Sports. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.